Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would have your will and way and purpose this morning. Unless you build the house, our labor is in vain. We pray that you would work for your glory and honor and your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in 1 Chronicles. I wonder why it looked odd. 2 Chronicles 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah, after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Let's go on. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jebna, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gibeah and the Mehunims. And the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their accounts, by the hand of Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. You know, we can look at people in the Bible and pass judgment from our little spot on the planet and yet not understand what it would be like to be in their shoes and how we would handle such success. We can say, well, you know, I wouldn't do that. Well, you don't know. That's the scary part. You don't know what you would do if you were made king at 16 years old and you became incredibly powerful, successful. Everything you touched turned to gold, so to speak, and you became incredibly powerful, organized. You did great works for Israel. The people were very impressed. You were popular. That can really go to your head. That can really hurt you if you're not wise and careful. And none of us in this room have ever experienced a fraction of that success. And so, for us to do something similar to what this man does would be even worse than what it was for him to do it, because we have not been set up for a fall in the same way that he was. Okay? If I am lifted up with pride and fall into the snare of the devil with my puny success, what would I have done in his shoes? If I am lifted up with pride and arrogance and I trespass against God with my little bit of prestige and power and authority and might and glory, then what would I have done with his? So we need to think about these things. But when he was strong, verse 16, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. Have you ever transgressed against the Lord your God? This man had lived many years in obedience to God. And God had greatly, incredibly blessed him. Powerfully blessed him. In ways that few people have ever experienced. He was smart. He did things that fortified his city. He made himself safe. He did things to provide for himself. He had plenty. He wasn't worried about paying the bills. He wasn't worried about being in danger. He felt very safe, powerful, and had plenty. And people usually in that position think they can trespass. When everything is going down bad, and you are maybe sick or ill, or maybe you just lost your job, usually that causes someone to get on their knees. Usually that causes someone to pray more. But when everything is just going your way, then you're more in danger. We see that many times in the scriptures. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. No, he didn't go out and do something vile and wicked in the sense that we would think of. You know, he didn't go out and commit adultery and murder, and he didn't go out and steal. He didn't become a heathen. He didn't go worship some false god and set up an idol in Jerusalem. No, he became presumptuous about his ability to approach God. He thought, you know, who says that only these priests, the sons of Aaron, should be able to do this? I can have a relationship with God. Why do I have to go through the due order? Why do I have to follow the protocol? I'm king. God has blessed me mightily. God and I have an understanding. I'm sure he'll understand if I just want to go in and burn incense to him. Who could complain about that? I just want to burn incense to God. What's wrong with that? Ever heard anything like that? I just want to seek God according to my own conscience. Why should I have to go through the program God has set up? Well, that's very common among men. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. They understood they were taking their life in their hands at this moment. They were valiant for truth. They were valiant for God's program. They wanted things to be done right. And this was a violation. And anybody could have said, well, yeah, you just want to monopolize on this just to maintain your own power. Say what you will. Okay? They wanted to follow protocol. They wanted to follow the word of God. They were valiant men. They realized we might have a fight on our hands. I'm sure the king wasn't there all by himself. These men were probably armed and ready for battle to secure the safety of God's ways. Why else would they say valiant men? You know, think about it. And they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. You know what the problem here is? It appertaineth not to thee. Well, let's go ahead and read and see what happens here. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord and from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, reigned. His son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belongeth to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, probably a descendant of Zadok, the famous priest. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. So, here is a man who for many, many years obeyed God and was marvelously blessed. Now, most of the time what happens is people think, well, think of all that I've done for God. Think of all that I've done for the people. Think of how well I have served. And surely I have earned an indulgence. I have earned some sort of exception to where I should be able to do what others shouldn't do, because I have already done all this wonderful stuff. I mean, surely God will let me slide. He may not let you slide, but surely He'd let me slide, right? Because look at all what I've done. Look how important I am. Look how wonderful I am. The entitlement mentality. I'm entitled to something. Was he? Hadn't God already blessed him? Hadn't God already given him tremendous blessings? Now, so did he do all that, or did God do all that for him? Leprosy is a terrible thing. Pass these around. These are pictures of what leprosy does to people. Just take a look at it and pass it on. Now, this man, no doubt, God was pleased with him all those years. God had given him incredible blessings. And yet, when he went into the temple to burn incense to the Lord, God gave him leprosy. Wow. And he was a leper to the day of his death. Amazing, isn't it? Doesn't that seem a little bit extreme? I mean, for someone as important as Uzziah, someone as glorious who had served the nation so well, doesn't that seem extreme to you? It didn't to God. Obviously, it didn't seem extreme to God. You know what the problem is? Stop signs are not optional. Stop signs are not optional. God expects you to stop. When God puts up a stop sign, He didn't do it to make Himself feel good. He wants you to stop. Okay? Tearing down stop signs is the root of all rebellion. People don't like to be told no. They don't want to be told that you can't come past this. This is as far as you can go. Don't go any farther. They don't like being told that. The moment I tell you to sit down, your flesh wants to stand up. The moment I tell you to stop, you want to go. The moment I say go, you want to stop. It's our carnal, rebellious nature that we have to crucify and subdue. Do you think it was easy for those priests to approach Uzziah? No. But Uzziah didn't stop at the stop sign. They told him no. Think of all the Bible stories, all the people in the Bible that didn't stop at the stop sign. Adam and Eve. Why was there a flood? Why was Sodom destroyed? Think of the Egyptians whom God judged. The Canaanites who were driven out. Think of the 3,000 people that perished at Sinai. What about the 10 spies that died of a plague? And then everyone 20 years old and up in the 40 years in the wilderness. Think of Achan, Nadab and Abihu. Think of Saul. What about Samson? Samson didn't stop at the stop sign, did he? Think of Israel as a nation carried away to Babylon. Think of Usa slain just for stabilizing the ark. Ananias and Sapphira, we could go on. Are God's rules really meant to be followed? I mean, those rules were written an awful long time ago. This is in the days of Uzziah, Isaiah, long time after King David, long time after Moses. That stop sign is an old stop sign. You still have to stop? The problem was this. He thought he had a right. Do you realize you never have a right to do wrong? You never have a right to blow by one of God's stop signs. Uzziah thought he had a right. After all, he thought he earned it. He thought he had earned it. He thought that the blessings of God upon him told him, God is with you, and you've earned some entitlements, some indulgences. In Romans 10:1, we find that the children of Israel, Paul's commentary on Israel was, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Well, so did Uzziah. But not according to knowledge. In other words, not according to the word. Not according to right thinking. Not according to proper protocol. Not according to God's will, way, and program. For they being ignorant of God's justification plan and going about to establish their own justification plan have not submitted themselves unto God's justification plan. For Christ is the plan and purpose of the law for justification to everyone that believeth. Now, God had a plan of salvation. They had a plan of salvation. They liked their plan better than God's plan. Uzziah liked his stop signs better than God's stop signs. You know, cows don't like fences. Why doesn't a cow like a fence? Because he likes his grazing plan better than your grazing plan. You know why goats don't like fences? Because they want to graze according to their own plan, not the plan of the shepherd. You know why people don't like fences? Same reason. They got a plan. They want to go about and establish their own ideas of right and wrong. They want to set their own boundaries of what's good, what's bad, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, what's right, what's wrong. They want to set their own boundaries. Now, Uzziah did not desire to implement Chemosh, Ashtaroth, Molech. That wasn't the problem. He would have saw that as bad and wicked. Okay? And he did not want to demolish the house of God. He wanted to honor God his way. He wanted to offer incense to God, contrary to God's protocol. There's a lot of people today, and one of the primary problems in Christendom is that people get their own idea of the way things ought to be done. The way churches ought to run, the way sermons ought to be preached, the way books ought to be made, the way all kinds of things. The way sin ought to be dealt with. And so they get their own idea, and instead of searching the word, instead of letting the priest do it, instead of letting it be done according to God's protocol, they just want to step out and implement their idea. They like their idea. So because they like their idea, and after all, look at all they've accomplished, surely their idea ought to be right. Their discernment ought to be better. Look at all they did. Did it work? Leprosy. Leprosy until the day of his death. You know, in Israel, this is the society that God set up, you were never too big to spank. Seriously. Do you know in Israel they had certain punishments for certain crimes But then the old standby for anything was flogging. I mean, if there wasn't a particular punishment for this particular crime, and you did something that needed punished, the thing that filled in all the gaps was flogging. A whip. And the Bible says, Deuteronomy 25:1, if there be a controversy between men and they come unto judgment, and that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Doesn't matter what the deal was. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, in their estimation, if this deserves some stripes. If this guy's memory needs some help so he doesn't do this again, if we need to make an example here so this doesn't happen anymore, it says that the judge who caused him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. In other words, it was supposed to be done in the eyes of the judge so that nobody abused it. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed. Lest if he shall exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother shall seem vile unto thee. Okay, the Jews, as a general rule, did not want to break the commandment, so they gave them 39 stripes, just in case they miscounted one. All right? And Paul says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Okay? That's 195 stripes. Right? That Paul had received. The Romans didn't have that rule. So in verse 22 of 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, in stripes above measure. In verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. That's from the Romans. And they didn't have any rule that you could only receive the 39. So Paul got the maximum Jewish penalty 5 times. Where do you think that took place? Well, Matthew 10:17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. In Acts 22:19, and I said, Lord, Paul speaking, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. The only thing that was wrong about this was if they beat the wrong person or too many stripes. Do you realize that if you were a Jew growing up in Israel, attending the synagogue, and you decided to be rebellious as a teenager, teenagers think they're supposed to be rebellious sometimes, and you decided to get your own ideas and do things your own way, and you weren't honoring your parents, or you stole, or you were messing around and doing things you ought not to do, when it came to the authorities, you probably would be taken to the synagogue and scourged. You'd lay down on the floor, the truth would come out, the president of the synagogue or the local elders would gather together and decide how many stripes you deserved, and you would get a whooping. It didn't matter if you were an adult. It didn't matter if Paul here was probably in his 50s, 40s and 50s. It didn't matter. Nobody was too big to spank in Israel. Isn't that amazing? And they weren't supposed to say, I'll fix you. I'll just go to the synagogue in the other city. That wouldn't work. If you didn't like it, you were excommunicated from the people of God and the sacrifice. You couldn't go to the temple. The sacrifices weren't for you. The Day of Atonement wasn't for you. And you went to hell. Okay? That was the discipline of Israel. So, in our day and age, we may think that God given this king leprosy. Wow, that was really bad. Let me say to you this morning, hell is really bad.
Amen.
And if that man, by that man being made an example, how many souls do you think were saved from hellfire because of what God did to Uzziah? The reason that God had stoning in place and scourging and all these things in place was a deterrent to hell. But in our nation, everybody's so soft, everybody's so humanistic, that if somebody in the church gets scolded or rebuked, oh, that's just not Christ-like. No, Jesus grew up a Jew. He lived his whole life a Jew. He never made an outcry against this. This was his law. Oh, Jesus wouldn't do that. This is his law. Jesus inspired Deuteronomy. Okay? And when Jesus reigns in his kingdom, that's the law that's going to be followed. The problem is, we've gotten soft and we've gotten very humanistic. We've gotten the same mind frame that Uzziah got when he thought, everybody, God should understand. I should be able to go into the temple and burn incense. What's wrong with it? I think it's important that we readjust our thinking. It says Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. Why was he wroth? Well, he thought, it's obnoxious of you guys to think that you're the only ones who can burn incense. I'm the king. Look at all I've done for this nation. I ought to be able to burn incense in the temple. Oh, really? God says. I see. Well, maybe you're going to find out that I don't agree. People who want to follow their own plan don't like being told no. People who want to follow their own plan become very angry when they feel like their rights are being taken away or violated. What if God had not intervened? It's very possible that those priests would have lost their lives for doing that. There were priests and prophets who lost their lives for telling other people no. Abel lost his life. He didn't even tell Cain no, evidently. God told Cain no. But he was so upset about it, he went and killed Abel. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And then he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. You know, Joshua and Caleb nearly lost their life for standing with God. You know that Moses could have lost his life had God not intervened with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and the people the next day. You know, Jesus would have lost his life before it was time had God not protected him until the hour was come. Many times they wanted to take him, but his hour was not yet come. And in the garden, Jesus said, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. That's when God delivered him up. Are you listening? The hour was come. But they would have done away with him a lot sooner if they could have. Jesus said, the world cannot hate you, to some of his relatives, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Young people, listen to me. Have you ever heard someone say, but if I tell my friends no, they won't like me? Oh, but if I tell on them, if my friends are doing wrong and I tell on them, they won't like me. Guess what? That's the way it's always going to be. When those who are wanting to do wicked and you're wanting to do what's right, they're not going to like you. They're not going to be your friend. When people are doing wrong and you don't tell, you're a part of the wickedness. When you do tell, they're not going to like you. So what? God's going to like you. If the world hates you because its own deeds are wicked, you cannot have friends of the world. It's not going to work. If you're going to be for God and they're going to be for the world, they're not going to like you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It's not going to work to have friends of the world. You listening? It's not going to work. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead. You know, once God acts, it's too late to repent. Oh yeah, he can repent and be saved. His soul can be saved. But the leprosy's not going to go away. Once God acts, whatever he decides to do, it's done. Forgiveness maybe can be had. Your soul maybe will be saved. But look at Gehazi. rest of his life. Uzzah was dead. Uzziah was a leper. In 1 Samuel 15:24, we find Samuel rebuking Saul. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Okay. He says, okay, I'll admit it. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. It was obvious that he was taking it too light. Look, okay. Okay, Samuel, I did it. I did wrong. I sinned. Now, just pardon me and let's move on. Okay? What does Samuel say? And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to thy neighbor, a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. In other words, what he's telling him is, you don't understand. God made a decision. Something was done, and it will not be undone. You're not scared. You can cry and weep. And you can maybe, if you do cry and weep, if you do repent, your salvation can be secured, your sins can be forgiven, but what God has decreed is decreed. In 2 Samuel 21, 1 through 14, turn there. 2 Samuel. We find Nathan talking to David. 2 Samuel 21. I think we're in 1 Samuel. Let's see. 1 Samuel 21. Yeah. No, that's not easy. I don't know what I wrote down the wrong. Anyways, Nathan says to David that because of your sin, he explains it all to him, what he did. David's wroth with that man who did wrong to this other fellow by taking his lamb. And he says, thou art the man. Okay? So this is 2 Samuel 12. Did I say 21?
Yeah.
My notes say 12. It's probably getting old. 2 Samuel 12. If I could read my typing. Not even my writing. Okay. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was with him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wife before thine eyes, and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed, Thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now, God forgave his sin when he repented, and he did not die. But everything else that was decreed came to pass. The child died, and everything he said, that the sword would not depart from his house, and how that he was going to do these things, it all came to pass. Once God made a decree, there was no going back. Why is God so harsh? God isn't harsh. He gave the stop sign. You saw the sign. You saw the rule. You knew better. You despised the commandment of the Lord. You made that commandment unimportant to yourself. God's not harsh. He didn't send you straight to hell. He could have. A prophet once said to Asa, 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." And Asa did. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death and was cut off from the house of the Lord. You abuse it, you lose it. Once it's gone, it's gone. You can have a nice new car given to you on graduation day. You take it out and wreck it, it's wrecked. Gone. But I want to end this message on a positive note. There is good news. In 2 Chronicles 27, we find that Uzziah's son Jotham, who was certainly grieved at what happened to his father. He probably thought his father was the greatest man that had ever lived. Look what he's done. All he's done for the people. He knew that oftentimes those people didn't appreciate it. He knew that his father was faithful. His father was a good father. He did great and wonderful things. And Jotham may have thought, wow, was that really necessary? Was it really that important? My father's a leper, cut off from the house of the Lord, living in a several house the rest of his life. Wow. Jotham could have become bitter. He could have rebelled. Well, I'm not going to serve a God like that. That's not the kind of God I want to serve. That would have been stupid. Okay? God's not going to compromise for you. He's not going to change his laws for you. But Jotham, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. The first time I read that, I thought, well, shame on him. What did he do? Boycott the house of God because he was upset about his father? But that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, He did everything good like his father, but he didn't do that. He didn't get high-minded. Because in verse 6 it says, "So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God." Prepared his ways before the Lord his God. He planned his strategy with God as his guide. He made his decisions with God first. He made sure that he did not just get high-minded and do it the way he thought it should be done because he was so smart. No, when he prepared his ways, he did it before the Lord. He didn't want to mess up. Spurgeon says, "He was careful and thoughtful in his conduct and fearful lest he should sin by inadvertence, and therefore he became strong." There is a great deal of meaning in the expression, "He prepared his ways before the Lord his God." It implies that he did not follow men or seek their approbation, but lived as in the immediate presence of the Lord and desired above all to please Him. He learned from the mistakes of his father, his forefathers. He learned from others' mistakes. He did not repeat others' mistakes. That seems like it's a no-brainer. Isn't that what we all ought to do? How often do you see a young person learning from the good points and not following the bad points, and following the good points and going beyond? and learning and growing and advancing. It's not often that you find a young person that does that. Adam Clark says the reign of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was properly the last politically prosperous reign among the Jews. Hezekiah and Josiah did much to preserve the divine worship, but Judah continued to be cut short till at last it was wholly ruined. Jotham had a very successful, powerful reign, really the last great reign of Judah. And it says here in the chapter 27, but the people did yet corruptly. You know, it's so sad. Here you have a king trying to get God's blessing and do things right. And the people did yet corruptly. In other words, they are canceling out, before God Almighty, they are canceling out what he's trying to do good. So all that he does good is not going to even last through the next generation because the people cancel it out. But you know, I want to focus on Jotham. Jotham saw the stop sign and stopped. People don't like God's stop signs. They don't like God's fences. They don't like God's boundaries. They feel like, after all, I've got a brain, I can think about this, you hear it all the time. Excuse, justification. And then, when they go through God's stop sign, they grumble about the ticket. Oh, this is too much. All I did is go through the stop sign. Obviously, you didn't value that stop sign. That's why you went through it. And when you didn't value the stop sign and went through it, now you're upset about the penalty because you never valued the stop sign the way God did. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Is that a big deal? It is. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. There's a stop sign. Don't eat unworthily. And yet people just trample right by. Oh, I should be just fine. Oh, God will understand. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Get your heart right. Get in line with his word. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's there. It's said. The stop sign can be seen. It's clear. Who on earth would just trample over it? It says, eat and drink damnation. The problem is you don't believe. The stop sign's there. You cross that stop sign, you're going to get damnation. Oh, that's too harsh. Is it? Is it? It's not. You don't have to tempt God. You don't have to provoke God's wrath. Paul said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many are dying. Many sleep, either dying or dead. Wow. What if that was somebody in your family? Oh, I don't want to go to a church like that. I don't want to follow a God like that. I want to follow a God of love and mercy and grace. No, you want to follow your own self is what you want to follow. You want to draw your own lines, your own fences, your own stop signs. Just like the cow that doesn't want to stop at the fence, it's the same thing. You just want to be your own God. You want to go about and establish your own righteousness instead of submit to God's word and God's righteousness. Isn't that the problem? Sure, it's the problem with any of us. But God's stop signs are not optional. God's stop signs are not optional. The problem is, in America today, we cannot implement the same discipline that would have been implemented in the synagogue. And for the church, it's put them out. With such a one, know not to eat. Put them out of the communion. Okay? That's the step that we are to take. And that is very mild. That is very mild and merciful. Because in Israel, we'd have had a men's meeting, and you'd have been called forth, and the evidence of the witnesses would have been sworn in. We'd have had church court, and somebody would have got a flogging. If it was a trespass that deserved a spanking. And it wouldn't matter if you were the father, the son, who you were. In Israel. Oh, that was under that old bad law. No, that was God's law. That was Jesus' law. Amen. Jesus said to the Jews, you like to make the word of God of none effect by your tradition. God said, honor thy father and mother, and whoso curses father and mother, let him die the death. Jesus believed that. He believed that if you didn't honor your father and mother, you ought to be stoned. That's what Jesus believed. He says in Corinthians, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In other words, whatever judgment is passed here is supposed to get you to repent and wake up, lest you go to hell with the world. God's trying to keep you out of hell. And if it is less than hell, and it causes you to turn away from hell, it's eternally merciful. If that leprosy got Uzziah to repent and get right and humble himself, and he went to heaven, he'll be eternally thankful for it. Paul said one time to the Corinthian church, do we provoke the Lord? Are we stronger than He? Not a good idea. Don't provoke the Lord. Don't push Him. Don't test Him. Don't presume upon God's mercy. Children, listen to me. How many of you know what Ephesians 6:1 says? Raise your hand. Okay, say it with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. That's a stop sign. That it may be well with thee. What if you don't stop at that stop sign? It will not be well with thee. That's a stop sign that God set up. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Oh, that's not a real important stop sign, so I'll just trample it. I'll just go up. I'll just coast through it. Did God think it was an important stop sign? That means if you don't see it as important as God sees it, you have despised the commandment of the Lord. Isn't that what David did? Isn't that what Saul did? Isn't that what Uzziah did? You have despised. In other words, you've made it not important to you. Not as important as you are, of course. You've despised the commandment of the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trampled underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? We don't get up here and preach for our health. We don't get up here and warn just because that's what we're supposed to do on Sunday. I have seen for years how people presume, coast through that stop sign, trample over this, trample over that, don't take it serious. Things happen. Big things happen. want to say to you this morning, stop signs are not optional. And any ticket that you receive that's less than hell is mercy. Right. Even if it was a synagogue flogging. Do you know why? There's another reason why. According to Adam Clark, that he thought that 39 stripes was the general rule. He says because typically they had a three-pronged scourge, okay, a three-corded scourge, and so and each time they struck it, they counted three. 39 is a multiple of three, okay, it's divisible by three, or you'd have to go to 42. But because the commandment said 40, they would just give you 13. Picture that. One, two, three, four, five, six. The person's laying down before the judge. Seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. You think that make an impression? Paul said five times I got that for preaching the gospel. For preaching Jesus in the synagogues. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. God is not the soft old grandpa Santa Claus. I'll put coal in your stocking if you're not nice. That's not God. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God has no respect to persons. Despising His law is a bad idea. Running His stop signs is a bad idea. God's stop signs, brothers and sisters, are not optional. God takes them very serious. Let's stand together. Jotham was smart, wasn't he? He learned that, oh my, that hurt. Visiting his father, taking care of his father, visiting him, understanding what had happened. Oh, that's painful. He felt it. But he had to side with God, didn't he? He had to side with God. He couldn't side with his father and say, those wicked priests, I'll take care of them. Well, I'll get back at them. No, he didn't do that. He didn't blame the priests. He didn't blame God. He didn't blame the program. Jotham sided with God, even in God's punishment. And Jotham was blessed and became mighty, and God blessed him, and he didn't repeat the mistake. There's so much to learn from this story. Any thoughts from the brethren before we pray?
I'd just like to make a comment concerning, do years of faithfulness entitle you to an indulgence? No, in fact, if anything, it requires God to hold you to a much stricter account.
Right.
Because His reputation is so much more closely tied to you now. By Uzziah being faithful for so many years, he developed a reputation for being God's man. In other words, if you wanted to know what was godly, you'd look at Uzziah. Well, so when he made a misstep like that, a deliberate one, and he was warned against it, and he made it anyway, it was all the more important to make a public spectacle of him because God needed to distance himself from that step.
Right. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation.
That's something to keep in mind. Faithfulness in no wise entitles you to a misstep.
Right.
He was warned right there. And very likely he could have stopped and repented and had some lesser consequence.
Yeah, when instead of becoming wroth,
yeah.
when they came in, if he had stepped back and said, you're right, God have mercy on me, he probably wouldn't have been a leper to the day of his death.
Rules it's not conditional that we appreciate it, understand it, agree with it.
Right.
Someone may not appreciate a stop sign, but a number of people have blown through a stop sign and been killed or killed someone else.
And that little sign just stands there? No flashing lights, it's just the stop sign. But it's to be honored. God has stop signs that were written down thousands of years ago. About 2,500 years ago, the law was written. No, about 3,500 years ago. Does God still care for his stop signs? Oh, yeah. It would do us well to get to know them, to find out where they're at, and to make sure we don't run them. Let's pray.